Teach your children three things: love for your prophet, love for his family, love for Quran recital. Teach your children three things: love for your prophet, love for his family, love for Quran recital. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. My respected viewers of Madani Channel, we welcome you in program Parenting Skills. In this program we talk about those challenges parents they are facing while upbringing their children. Alhamdulillah for this we conducted a public survey and we received a very good response from your end, and we've got some responses in front of us. And inshallah, we'll discuss them with our guest speaker, Dr. Zirek Attari, to seek a professional advice from him. Let's go first towards him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So, how are you doing?
Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen ala kulli hal. How are you, Rizwan bhai?
I'm good. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. So, jazakallahu khairan. Thank you so much once again for giving your precious time to us. Without any further delay, we will be talking about a first case, inshallah, for the better interest of viewers of Madani Channel. As you normally, mashallah, give us advice, the challenges parents they are facing in terms of parenting, and how can they increase their parenting skills. So first case we've got, the girl is of 9 years of age, and she is not suffering from any health illness, neither any mental health illness. She's not on medical regular medication also, and she is suffering from a mild autism. And the problem the parents they are facing, that she has to be supervised, and moaning, tension, and she beats the mother, unfortunately, abuses, can't clean herself, and she's also lacking behind in her studies at school and madrasa. And as far as family history is concerned, the grandfather and two aunties, they are suffering from psychosis. So this is a family history. And as far as the strategy they have adopted, or something they've mentioned, extra support at school, being patient, and professional help from the doctor. This is what they have mentioned in survey.
Okay, first of all, may Allah make things easy for the parents of this 9-year-old girl who suffers from autism.
Ameen.
They have mentioned family history in terms of grandparents and two aunties having severe mental health problems. First of all, I'd just like to briefly touch upon this. Sometimes it may be that we could actually make a link that because the grandparents or the aunties, they had mental health problems, this is possibly why my child obviously may have developed these problems. This may not necessarily be the view of these parents, but generally it could be.
Yes.
So first of all, let me say is that clearly, I mean, there's no clear defined link between other family members having psychosis or severe mental health problems and then your child developing autism.
Okay.
Autism is a completely different problem.
Mental health.
It is a developmental problem. It per se, we don't call it as a disease or anything.
Okay.
It's just that the children who suffer from autism, their brain functions differently.
I see.
And that's the reason. Whereas with psychosis or other problems, there are chemical imbalances within the brain.
Okay.
Rather than the structure and the function of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So that's first thing that I wanted to clarify, that just
very
in
good.
Case that we may end up blaming someone, then there is no clear defined link between other family members having psychosis and children developing autism.
Okay.
Okay? If there are other mental health problems, then there may be a more sort of defined link. Now, as I said, that autism in itself is not a disease per se. It is just that the brain of these children, it functions differently.
Okay.
These children, they communicate differently.
Okay.
With others. Their understanding of others and the environment around them is different. Their behavior in response to the environment or the social interaction with others is different.
Okay.
And then this autism, like the parents said, it is mild autism. So what they mean is that in medical terms, we call it autistic spectrum disorder.
Right.
So it has a number of different level of severity.
Okay.
You could have someone with mild autism where, you know, if someone looks at them, they may not actually see that there is any problem, but if they interact with them,
mm-hmm.
they will say something is not right. Whereas on another end, you could have a child with autism who is a severely disabled, may not be able to communicate at all, maybe sort of sitting in a particular posture or presenting with mannerism or behaviors
mm-hmm.
which are completely out of the norm for that given circumstances.
Right.
What the mother is describing here, for example, morning tantrums, beating the mother up, swearing, unable to obviously, tend to the personal hygiene, and behind her peers in the schools and the madrasa, and she needs to be supervised inside and outside the home. This is the typical of autistic spectrum disorder.
Okay.
And anything that changes their routine, it actually makes them anxious. And for example, for this child to be going to the school in the morning, because in this country, they will be going to the school. They will be receiving additional support and help
anyway.
At school. If this child doesn't like attending the school, then obviously it is going to create a lot of anxiety in her mind.
Hmm.
And that's possibly the reason that why she actually throws a tantrum in the morning.
Hmm.
Maybe very difficult to obviously get up or go to the toilet and so forth. And I think, I mean, if the mother discusses this with the school, and they will obviously be able to advise or help further the how to reduce this anxiety. Children who have autism, they need, because their brain works differently, they need a lot more help. Where I could tell my normal child, go and brush your teeth, it will not work with a child who's got autism.
I see.
What you will have to do is you will have to sort of either write things down or you need to use images and the pictures. So if this child is experiencing difficulty in terms of tending to personal hygiene, then my advice to the mother or the parents will be, speak to the experts. They are already receiving help from the doctors.
Yes.
There are educational psychologists that are involved at school. So if the mother discusses these issues with them,
okay.
they will be able to give further advice that how mother can actually deliver instructions in number of different ways
okay.
that can help this child.
Okay.
They can learn these skills.
But they are slow.
But they will be slow in terms of learning and also how we explain it to them. Every child with autism is different.
Right.
What works for one child may not work for the other child. So this is where the experience of the mother and the experience of those professionals who are involved in her, they can use this experience, because personal hygiene is very important. Because if she's not able to tend to personal hygiene, and then she will be more prone to urine infections and other problems. So that's one advice that I will suggest to the mother, that she discusses these things. In terms of the swearing, now, because these children, their brain, as I said, works differently,
mm-hmm.
they will not perceive this as something wrong.
Yeah.
These words may not hold any meaning to them.
Right.
Or if they do, it is just how they are, you know, feeling at that time.
And they're reacting to that situation.
And they may be completely inappropriately using these words.
Mm.
Now, if the child's not getting angry with them, or it doesn't have any other consequences, then I will either simply ignore it, because that's not a normal understanding by them anyway. So they may not be swearing because they are upset or anything. They could simply be using these words out of context. If that is the case, ignore. If they are swearing a lot more when they are angry and upset, and once again, you know, this is where, you know, the child psychologist, educational psychologist, the GP or other professionals who are involved in this, they can help the parents. Now, it is very difficult for me to give this expert specialist advice. So I'm guiding the parents to actually discuss these.
Because every case is different.
Exactly. And in terms of the academic achievement, attainment. Now, clearly, some of these children, autistic children, they are gifted in very certain specific way. Right? They may be, for example, you might have seen it, this, you know, or some autistic children being extremely, exceptionally clever with numbers.
Yeah.
You ask them something 100 years ago, they'll be able to give you an answer just like that.
Yeah.
Or these children may have a special interest in art, or they may have special interest in particular toys and so on and so forth, and they may be able to gain that specific knowledge in that particular one field, whereas in the rest of the domains they may not be able to function normally. Mm-hmm. So this is where I would advise the parents to be guided by the professionals in terms of your expectation of this child.
Mm-hmm.
Now this brings me to another important issue with madrasa.
Okay.
Now I now, because you know, in terms of me being involved with Dawat Islami, and many times the madrasa head teachers, they contact me that, you know, someone's child is autistic or they've got learning disabilities. We are not equipped with the skills that we need to actually teach this child. And unfortunately, that's a real problem.
Yes.
Either the madrasas, the mosques, they are charities. They don't have the right amount of funding. They don't have these skills. So they actually many times refuse to accept this child. And I think in that case, you know, if the child is able to learn the Quran and the you know, the Madani Qaida and so forth, then be it, make them, help them learn.
Okay.
But they will actually need a specialist teacher, like special education needs coordinator, who can actually deliver this education in their own personal way. Now, some of these children, if the classroom is full of children, they may not be able to function properly. So they may need small class size. Sometimes the environment may not be right. So there may be more harm by these children going into the madrasa. Mm-hmm. So rather than sending them into the madrasa, again, I'm not saying that this will be the case with every child. It's better to look at the alternative options, educating them at home by private tuition and so forth, where, you know, one individual qari can actually deliver this training, particularly for, you know, their needs. So that's another thing that I would actually mention in this particular case, and especially to those parents whose children are normal, be grateful for having normal children. And I make dua that Allah Azzawajal helps all those parents, and especially these ones whose children have some sort of learning disability, and may Allah Azzawajal, you know, help the parents whose children are normal to actually appreciate this bounty. And one very important advice for the parents is that they need to educate themselves about this problem, autism. And they need to actively engage with the medical services and the mental health services. There are number of different courses that are offered by the National Health Service for parents whose children have autism. So my advice to these parents is, will actively engage, attend these training sessions where there are other parents who share their difficult experiences. This actually gives them a lot more education. They'll be able to see other children who are more comparable to these children. And this in itself will give them some sort of sense of satisfaction that, okay, I'm not on my own. Because otherwise they are simply comparing their child with every other normal child. And then the skills they will actually gain here in terms of managing the behavior is priceless. So that's another advice for the parents, is that engage in all those educational programs. And to be honest, if I could say it, it wouldn't be wrong. That sort of education works far better than any other medication. And usually with autistic children, for the problem itself, there is no cure, there is no medication. This will be lifelong condition, unfortunately. Yes, for their anxiety, depression and other things, there could be medication, but in terms of the behavior management, which is what this parent is coming up with, mostly behavior management issues, is where the parents need to be educated on this, and there are specialist classes delivered by the mental health services and other medical professionals. And our parents, especially Asian parents, they tend not to take it because they don't understand the value of this education and training. So my advice will be, go and actively engage, not just attend, but implement that advice as well.
MashaAllah. I would like to take this point further, Dr. And viewers of Madani Channel, did you listen? The advice, definitely, that whatever the professional advice what we could give, that is being shared with you. But I would like to salute those mothers, MashaAllah, the way they are upbringing these less fortunate children. But this also tells us how pure love mother has, subhanAllah. These parents, they are suffering a lot, like, in order to upbring their children who are less fortunate in any way or shape or form. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has granted them children in a sense, but they cannot function as normal as others do. But yet, look at the love of these parents, subhanAllah. They're still upbringing them. They're looking after them. They're worried about them. They're seeking help from anywhere they can do. They are doing their best to upbring these children. But subhanAllah, dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, imagine the love, the purity of the love of mother and father. This tells us those, their parents are alive. They should respect them. They should love them. They should realize this love does not demand anything. This is a pure love. So we need to respect our parents. We need to love them. We need to give them time. This is also a very important message what we can learn. So let's go to the next case. That is girl, and she is 30 years of age, and physical health illness, no. Mental health illness, no. No regular medication. The problem the parents, they are facing, that she cannot control her anger, rude behavior. And strategy what they have adopted, counseling from hospital, they've done that also, from school also. Try not to interrupt much. This is what they have also tried. As far as the family history is concerned, mother is on warfarin because of blood clot. And I think the next case is a bit similar to this one also. We'll take this together, inshallah. The boy, 10 years of age, and no illness, no mental health illness, no regular medication, problem same, anger, and they've helped to calm him down. No family history in this case, and I think there's a slightly difference in age and gender. The problem is same.
So we got two children, obviously different families. So a boy, 10 years with anger problems, and a girl, 13, with anger issues as well. Anger obviously is an emotion. So I would like to discuss here some basic psychology to help you know, viewers of Madani Channel and the parents and the guardians to understand what are the origins of this anger and so forth. We all have needs,
okay,
and there have been a lot of studies done, and basically what the psychologists have identified is different types of needs.
Okay.
So at the bottom, the basic needs are physiological.
Basic necessities.
Yeah, basic necessities of our body.
Yes.
What are these? Sleep.
Food.
Food. Water.
Shelter.
Shelter. Warmth. So these are the most basic needs.
Right.
And once these basic needs are met, you then move on to what we call as psychological needs or security needs.
Okay.
So one has to actually feel secure and loved.
Yes.
You know, if you are afraid that, you know, something may happen, or the parents are aggressive and so forth, and you know, you're always in that fear.
Yes.
So that's another basic need that must be met for everyone, that you must feel safe and loved.
But that's the second tier.
That's the second tier. Then the third tier of this needs is that you have what we call as self-esteem needs. The, as you get older and older, you move through these emotions.
Right.
So when we come to someone who is 10 years of age or 13 years of age, they have to have their basic needs met. They have to have their psychological needs met. You know, in terms of feeling secure and loved.
Yes.
And then they need to have their self-esteem needs met. Self-esteem
okay.
needs basically that people are respecting them.
Okay.
They're showing, obviously, respect to them, not humiliated.
Okay.
And they've got good relationship with other, you know, colleagues or other children. That is actually a good social interaction, and it boosts their, obviously, you know, confidence.
Okay.
Now, when our basic needs are not met,
okay.
for example, sleep is a basic need.
Mm-hmm.
Food is a basic need. Let's say that we are hungry.
Right.
The need is not being met. This will give rise to an emotion.
Okay.
So when I'm hungry, the emotion that happens is anger.
Okay.
If I'm hungry, there's no food, I come home, there's no food, no one's prepared the food, I'll get angry.
Mm-hmm.
That's the emotion. So when these basic needs are not met, whichever of needs of these are, it will lead to an emotion, whether it is anger, sadness, whatever. Now, once these emotions come, then the next step is, do I actually act on my emotion and express my emotion, or do I wait?
Right.
Is it right for me to express my emotion or not? To make that decision, you need emotional intelligence.
Okay.
Okay. I'll give you an example. For example, a child is at school.
Mm-hmm.
He's feeling hungry.
Right.
He's not going to shout at the teacher that, oh, I'm hungry, why are you not giving me the food? He's using his emotional intelligence that this is not the right environment to express my emotion. But the same child comes home.
He can do that.
He's hungry and the mom's not prepared the food or mom is late. He will express his anger because he's using his emotional intelligence that this is where I can express my emotion. Okay? So that's emotional intelligence. But some children, they either don't develop emotional intelligence,
okay,
or their emotional intelligence is less for whatever reason. Any child who's getting angry,
okay,
there must be one of the needs that is not being met.
That's not being met. Okay.
It is leading to an emotion of anger. The parents may not have taught them the emotional intelligence.
I see.
Now they're expressing their anger. Okay. So the problem here is twofold. One's basic need not being met, and secondly, the emotional intelligence.
Okay.
And none of these are problem of the child.
It's the better parenting.
It's okay. The parents. So parents, from a very young age, when they have their children, they need to actually develop an understanding of the emotions of their children. When the child is getting angry from a very young age, so these are 10 and 13, mm-hmm, they are well grown up. A child who is going back to those tantrum twos, so if a parent starts understanding the emotions of a child from, you know, 2 years of age, they first try to understand what's making them angry.
Okay.
They try to sit with them and explain to them, yes, I can understand your emotion.
Okay.
This is what is making you angry. But this is the solution. You don't have to actually express your anger this way. We can find a solution to this and you don't have to express your anger. We will meet your basic needs. Then the child themselves, they learn to use their emotional intelligence and control their anger in a much better way. And they will then themselves try to find the solution.
Right.
To actually get rid of that difficult emotion. And when the need will be met, the emotion will disappear.
Right.
So what happens with these children who are angry? One of the reasons, this is a basic psychology that I'm trying to explain, is that the parents have failed to understand their emotions. Parents have failed to instill the emotional intelligence, assuming that all these children are normal.
Okay.
They don't have any of the mental health problems. They don't suffer from depression or anxiety. If they have any of those problems, then it's a completely different case. Parents will need expert help. So in this particular case, the 13-year-old girl is getting the counseling. So clearly it looks like must be a severe case of anger management, mm-hmm, issues. It's a bit too early to actually decide whether there is any underlying mental health problem,
okay,
whether there is this part of a personality disorder,
mm-hmm,
which could develop for a number of different reasons. And one of the important reason is the home environment, the relationship between the mother and the father.
Right.
The relationship of the child with other family members. Is this child being abused or so and so forth? But we can only sort of comment on personality aspects once someone's 17 or 18 year old.
Hmm.
But by looking at it, that the child is receiving counseling clearly tells me that it's a sort of a more of a problem compared to the 10-year-old one. But ultimately, the basic concept is that the parents need to actually understand the emotions of the child, help them deal with the emotions in a positive way. For example, let's say that the child is being bullied at school. They could be getting angry.
Okay.
So what needs to be done is bullying needs to be addressed. Now that's very, very difficult from a practical point of view. There could be other issues that you may not be able to do much because a damage has happened in the past. For example, child may have been abused. You can't go and put the past right.
You can't reverse that.
So in this case, you are stuck with these emotions. So the parents then need to actually sit with the child and find ways of expressing emotions. Those ways which are less harmful. For example, the child's getting angry. That emotional buildup needs a let out. Sometimes children, they feel so, you know, 10, 13 year old, they feel so emotionally burdened that they start harming themselves. Mm. It's a way to let out their pain that they have in their mind. So what the parents can do or other professionals can do is find out positive ways of emotional let outs. For example, scream. Mm. Jump up and down and scream. That will get your, you know, emotional, you know, that will give you an emotional outlet. Mm. Rather than punching the wall, punch the pillow. You know, you won't cause the damage to the wall. Not you won't cause the damage to your hand. Now, punching the pillow is completely harmless activity. Mm. And then this is where, you know, being a Muslim,
mashallah,
it brings in a lot of those skills of the sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And basically, Islamic teaching, Islamic education about etiquettes and the manners and the control of emotions and reading Durood-e-Pak. These are very, very useful strategies that can help bring the emotions under control as well. Much more can be said on this, but I'll resort to this for the time being. And in the future episodes, if there are obviously more issues, then we could talk about the other aspects of this as well.
Many respected viewers of Madani Channel, beautifully Dr. explained in terms of the psychology which mentions how to control the anger. I would like to just mention one hadith of Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that strong is not the one who knocks other person down. Rather, strong is the one who controls his anger. So dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, we can also learn and teach our children these beautiful ahadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Definitely, alhamdulillah, it helps when we teach them the Islamic teachings. Definitely our children will also learn to control their anger, and inshallah this is a beautiful way forward. For today, that's it. Inshallah, we'll come back with another beautiful episode. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Teach your children three things: love for your Prophet, love for his family, love for Quran recital. Teach your children three things: love for your Prophet, love for his family, love